You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of May 18th, 2016. And whether you're in the future or in the past, it's always a good time to kill dudes with guns.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Jester.
And I'm George Alborg.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games.
Yep.
And it's time for warfare. Trailer warfare. You think we're ever going to get like so self-referential? Actually, you know what? Never mind.
What do you mean?
The Battlefield and Call of Duty people have been sniping at each other for years, actually.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, because it's like, answer the call, and it was like a Battlefield thing or something.
It's time for action.
Yeah, it was like, no, it was Beyond the Call or something. I remember like there was a Battlefield that was like, they've been going back and forth on each other for like
Battlefield
years.
Does what Call of Duty don't.
This week, we're going to talk about a little bit of the brouhaha around the trailers to Call of Duty, Infinite Warfare, and Battlefield 1.
Mm-hmm.
There's no subtitle for that, right?
Battlefield 1. I should say right off the bat, I think both of these are atrocious names.
Oh, like, yeah.
Really.
For multiple reasons.
Really some of the worst.
Yeah.
Like, Infinite Warfare causes immediate confusion with Infinity...
Warfare.
Infinity Ward, right? Mm. Infinite Warfare, Infinity Ward. Infinity Ward... Not making this game.
Wait, they aren't?
I thought Treyarch was making...
Oh my god, hold on. We need to fact check, not a podcast, people.
Either way.
Strap in.
Either way, Infinite War is confusing because of the developer names.
Mm-hmm.
Two, not entirely sure what you mean by Infinite War. Is this like Joseph Heinlein's Forever War series? Is that what's happening? And then Battlefield 1, I mean, that goes back to Xbox One problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it the first Battlefield... It's the number one, not...
Yes.
So I guess it's just World War One. So therefore...
World War I.
Does World War One justify the one? Is that the thing?
I mean,
because we could go back to like some Roman wars, right?
We're going back to Mesopotamia for the first war.
I mean, speaking of which, do you think they would ever do like a Battlefield, like Far Cry Primal style?
I mean, that would be... I mean, Far Cry Primal was like the first time that I can think of where like a developer...
You know what we need in this game? Neanderthals. Homo erectus.
Yeah.
Would really amp up our Battlefield game.
Call of Duty, species warfare.
That would be pretty cool. I mean, but that's like... Well, clearly, at this point, I feel like the Battlefield series will only go into the past further and further and further. And then Call of Duty will only go into the future.
Pretty
and
soon
at some point, they'll loop around, and we'll find out the Big Bang was actually the result of like some incredibly large explosion. When future and cavemen met.
When some caveman accidentally like put some flint against the super explosive device.
That they'd found, yeah, exactly. I mean, time travel's got to... Eventually, they have to be hopping through time.
Yes.
Doctor Who style.
So, everything is right in the world. Infinity Ward, officially the developer of Infinite Warfare. But you're right, that does make it extremely confusing.
Yes.
Based on the name. I feel like the focus of this podcast is going to be A, how strange video game trailers are, and B, what this fall is going to look like with
For
war
shooters.
Games.
Yeah.
And I guess, and there's also that weird controversy where there's some sort of like either angry internet campaign or maybe like, I don't know, do you think maybe this is just like a DDoS style like dislike swarm, like... Battlefield 1 has the most likes on YouTube ever, and Infinite Warfare has the most dislikes on YouTube
ever. I honestly don't know whether or not we should trust YouTube likes or dislikes.
I mean, it seems like you could game them. I imagine,
like, right?
Like, I don't know.
You set up some proxy server and I'll like to
creating
like,
a
reset.
Million.
Yeah, like reset.
But I think the fact that people are even trying to do that is mind-boggling. Like, someone had to take time out of their day to do that, right?
I mean, maybe it's a paid position at EA to just...
I guess. But I was under the... Well, I guess I don't know enough, but I'm under the impression that likes and dislikes are meaningless on YouTube.
Oh, you mean like they don't actually affect anything?
Yeah, like it doesn't affect your like payout or it doesn't affect
any
of the ad revenue share.
God,
like,
can you imagine if it affected payout?
I mean
some people live on dislikes, right? Because it means you're controversial.
Yes.
They want it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, I guess if I were the marketing person, I would say, hey, it doesn't matter. People are engaging with our content.
The number of engagements, that's what is valuable here.
They could say, like, I can't believe it. Infinite Warfare, 4 million engagements, like 3.9 of them dislikes.
Exactly. I think that it's funny that there's this campaign to both either like or dislike these.
Mm-hmm.
Because both of the trailers tell us almost next to nothing about the contents of these games.
So let's talk about Battlefield 1, because people were super excited about this game, by the way. Like, people got obsessed with it.
I mean, I think this is the most exciting announcement because Battlefield 1 is set in World War 1, right? Like, for a long time, there was this assumption that we are just moving more and more modern, right? Call of Duty started adding robots. Yeah.
Yep.
So this was just the way of things, right?
Has Battlefield ever done a World War One, or were they just...
I don't think so. I think they've only done World War II.
Yeah, because it had like 1942, 43. Yeah.
Yeah. They certainly have more expertise going back, I imagine, right? Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I don't know. I mean, I guess a lot of the Call of Duty guys probably worked on Medal of Honor and some of those early Call of Duties still set in World War II.
Yeah, that's true. Like, all the Call of Duties were, up until Modern Warfare, were like World War II. Things.
Yeah. I mean, I think what's interesting is that the response is, oh, you know what, actually there might be something cool here or valuable here to go back to World War One, because it's not a theater that we've been engaged in a very, very long time, and we're bringing in new lessons about multiplayer and new design decisions around weapons and loadouts that just weren't really part of gaming or the competitive gaming landscape when we were playing a lot of these World War II shooters back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, and DICE and just EA in general, because of the Battlefield franchise, has expertise in those massive, those massive online type games.
I mean, 1943 is still memorable as one of my favorite shooters of all time.
Yeah.
Like, I loved that game.
Yeah.
And it was simple, super simple setting, World War II, really compelling, because it didn't need like jetpacks and crazy stuff like that.
Because, I mean, that was like, I remember there weren't, that was a different type of shooter in that it was still fast and kind of twitchy, but it wasn't like Quake twitchy where, you could ride on an airplane through the battlefield.
Yeah.
And like, that could just be your thing. That's what you could do. Like, your job was just, oh, I'm going to fly around.
Well, that was always, I think, the strong suit of Battlefield even today, right? Like, it felt like everything that you did was its own distinct, robust system, right?
Yeah.
When you're in an airplane, it feels like, oh, this is airplane combat. Now I'm engaging in airplane combat. Mm-hmm. Like, I, for a while in 1943, I would just do dogfights in World War II. And the dogfighting combat in those Battlefield games was actually pretty decent because it was simplified. It wasn't like a flight sim.
Yeah.
But you're also not waiting for your missiles to lock on. Like, you have to just use your eyes.
Yeah.
And if anything, I think that makes me more excited to play Battlefield 1 because it goes back to those really old dogfights where we have, you know, like the Red Baron and all sorts of, I mean, I guess that's World War II, but we have the idea of aerial combat in a very simplified, cool way.
I think that I try to think of like what I would want from a World War One game, and like the last World War One game I played was Valiant Hearts.
Which is like a touching story about four different people in different contexts.
But there were some parts where it was, I mean, they talked about what it was like to be in the trenches and what it was like to just kind of be stuck in a place for months or years on end.
Yeah,
like,
the boredom and tedium involved in warfare. Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think they're going to do this based on the trailer, but I think it would be cool for a Battlefield game to almost kind of like an open world Battlefield game where it's like, I haven't been out on the field for a long time, but I've been like,
In the trenches,
you know, like either, you know, doing small, like, you know, sneak missions or just, you know, I don't know. This is a great way for them to incorporate something like crafting in, because it's like, hey, you're not going to hit another battle for another 2 hours.
Right.
You know, I think that would be like,
God, that would be insane, though. That game is not going to exist.
That would never exist, but it would be so cool to have like a huge, massive trench scale, like battlefield game.
Can you imagine?
Like,
yeah, like,
and then
64,
not really fight that
32
much.
Players against 32 players with a bunch of NPCs in the trenches. Oh my god. And then one of somebody in your group is like, all right, now's the time, yeah, charge! And then there's, like, gas going and stuff.
But, like, how cool would it be is if it was kind of open world-ish and every once in a while...
Just flank them.
You were just... Yeah, it would just be like, all right, guys, now's the time to attack. Yeah. Not before. And, like, they could even build in a mechanic that, like, auto-kills you if you go up or something.
Yeah.
It's like, it would be so cool to just be, like, wandering around doing a kind of, like... Fallout style game,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden you hear the sirens, and it's just time to start running at the other side.
I just want to—I want to snipe enemy players who are taking a cigarette break.
You know? That's what you should never. Like,
yeah,
no smoking in Battlefield.
I mean, I think that's why there is some controversy around Battlefield 1, right? Because the way that we imagine World War 1 is just not the way that we imagine World War 2. Right?
Yeah.
World War 2 is all about defeating the Nazis, right? Like they are the epitome of evil. This is a justified, vindicated war.
Mm.
But the way that we imagine World War 1 is this ugly, like, gas is being used.
Mm.
It established a lot of the conventions around what a quote-unquote just war would be because of how horrendous it was. A lot of shellings and bombings and boredom and being stuck in trenches and digging and... like rot and stuff, like all of the aesthetics and elements of World War One that we have in our popular consciousness are not exciting. Certainly not exciting enough to set it to a really shitty cover of Seven Nation Army, you know. So okay. I don't know. I feel like there's an automatic trepidation about how they'll handle the politics of it, because what we don't want is them to glorify a war that at this point we've realized. Shouldn't have been glorified.
Yeah. Well, it's like... basically, all wars are kind of pointless, but some are more pointless than others.
That's true.
You know?
I mean, and to be fair, right? Yeah. I think, you know, during World War One, it's the popular belief, certainly in America at least, wasn't that this was a futile war.
Yeah.
There was a lot of rhetoric around glory and honor to be found in battle and stuff.
Well, and also people were scared, like, oh, it's, you know, the... People were scared of, you know, the expansion of foreign empires and
right,
stuff.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, we got to fight against them, you know.
It's
the
only,
Huns are here.
It's only, you know?
Yeah.
It's only in World War II when we're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Why did we, like, why did my father die in war if I have to go fight this other war? What, like, 15 years later? Like, this is awful.
Yeah.
We don't have that perspective. So maybe there's some cool things where they can play around with where it comes with all of the... all of the high action energy that you expect of a Battlefield game, but then it tones it down as you progress, as you sort of realize, wait, this actually is really horrible and shitty and war's not fun.
It's also something that I feel like our European buddies will take differently than the American folks, because like America was in the war for like a year.
Right.
And suffered far fewer casualties than like all, you know,
fashionably late.
All World Wars,
Well, now we're early.
Yeah, so. Exactly. We learned that lesson. I feel like World War One is a lot more somber outside the U.S. than it is inside the U.S., just because, like, the better part of a generation was just gone because of World War One.
Right.
And that, knowing that, knowing that people have that experience makes like a trailer like this even like stupider to me, because it's like, cool, a shitty cover of a White Stripes song and a guy looking cool with a flamethrower. Like, I don't know if this is like the, like, I don't know
most
what the appetite
sensitive.
Is. Yeah. It's like, I don't know what the appetite is like. And I'm, you know, whatever, they've been doing it with World War II for a long time, but I guess the sharp juxtaposition between the only other big World War One game I've ever played, which is Valiant Hearts.
Right.
And this was kind of like, even though I didn't like Valiant Hearts, I liked the tone of it.
Totally, yeah. I mean, the one thing that I'll say, though, is clear from the trailer, is there are opportunities to showcase theaters of war that took place in World War One that we don't have in our popular consciousness. You know, like in Tunisia and stuff.
Yeah.
Like those types of battles in North Africa are not something that you see in a lot of World War One movies.
That's true.
Or entertainment or TV or whatever. So it might be cool to see that in a video game setting, you might get aspects of the war that you didn't, right? Valiant Hearts did it.
Yeah.
When they showcased, you know, hey, there are people fighting from India and there are people and they're in their own regiments, right? And Battlefield 1...
Or just 1, like being a medic.
Right.
Yeah.
And Battlefield 1 is including the Harlem Hellfighters, the entirely black regiment that ended up having to enlist for the French.
Yeah.
Because of like racial prejudice in the United States. That's something that's a pretty unknown collection of stories from war.
Yeah.
And if they're using World War One as a setting to explore those, we might be able to justify some of the like hardcore action because that brings people in, yeah. as long as they can use it at the setting to also explore some of those more untold stories about World War One, right?
Has Battlefield ever done a big campaign like that? I mean, the Battlefield campaigns are definitely things, but like, yeah. I don't think I've ever played
a single Battlefield.
They had the Bad Company games. Oh, those were pretty.
But even Bad Company, yeah. I exclusively played multiplayer.
Mm, yeah. I'm just thinking about character, like what's their track record on characterization.
Yeah, you know? I don't know.
That's why it would be so like some of the most interesting parts of World War One are like that mixing of people together.
Right.
You know, like the black folks from America that like went to France for the first time and were like, oh, this isn't as racist.
Yeah. Like, wow. This guy actually sold me a newspaper.
Yeah. Today. Like, and so I think that's like a really cool thing that maybe just thematically in general, that era is overlooked in video games.
Totally.
Yeah. You know?
I'm almost kind of bummed that this wasn't a Call of Duty decision to go mm-hmm. back in time
yeah.
instead of a Battlefield one, because I do think Call of Duty has actually done some really interesting things with real yeah. historical settings and contexts.
I mean, the Black Ops team. Like, right. I remember, like I wonder what the Black Ops team would do if
they were asked to go to World
yeah,
War
One. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, how would that... You know, would you go into any of the politics? Would, like, Armenia be a part of
you
it?
You play
like,
the game as a trench.
You are the trench. let's juxtapose this, then, with the other big shooty-shoot game we're going to play this year. Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
By the way, that's the worst title.
It's pretty bad.
I mean, it's also...
You mean it's worse than Battlefield 1?
Well, okay, I think...
I think Battlefield 1 is the worst
title. I think Battlefield 1... To me, that I know this is a conspiracy theory, but I feel like that is a co-marketing deal.
With Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be multi-platform, but like it's Xbox is clearly doing a lot of the co-marketing on this stuff. Kind of like how Sony did a lot of the Destiny co-marketing. Like,
but it's a missed opportunity because this could have been Battlefield, Back to the Trenches, or Battlefield, The Trenchiest.
I just think that... It's super confusing.
World
War what? But I think Infinite Warfare is a more existentially depressing bad.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, because it does have the connotations of the Forever War,
yeah.
right? Which is like, fuck, we cannot get out of this goddamn cycle. Yeah, maybe this is actually Infinity War's call for help. Help. Like, please.
Like, if you see fucking whoever's running...
We just want to make a Crash Bandicoot game.
They're like blinking like Morse code, like help.
Send help.
I think that
we want to make art games now.
Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. It's also like a very because you know there's gonna be another Call of Duty. So it's just whatever comes after this, what, Call of Duty Infinite plus one? Like
Yeah.
I mean, it's just gonna be like,
well, the eyes in Infinite will slowly become ones that in when added together form the number in that trilogy. God.
Man, my conspiracy theories are turning out correct. Follow the... It's the numbers. The numbers, Mason.
This could have been Space War. It could have been BattleBots. It could have been Call of Duty. Finite Warfare, but also this time in space where there's like slightly more room.
So that's the gimmick here. The kind of robot and AI-ification of warfare mm-hmm. has continued.
Yes.
And... It looks like there's... It kind of looks like a light version of that sci-fi show called The Expanse, where there's, like, people off-world that are, like, resenting Earth or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's some weird thing where people...
I'm going to do that. When I finally get off this hump of rock, I'm going to be like, fucking Earthlings.
Fucking Earthers. There's going to be some sort of, like, faction that, you know, attacks...
Space miners.
Terra.
Or something.
Yeah.
And I don't know, is that what the story is? Because we see like Halo-looking ships coming in.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure if it was legitimately some form of Xenomorph or Covenant or whatever.
I mean, there hasn't been any... I guess there haven't been any confirmed aliens yet. But
that's true.
I mean...
They could just be wearing our skins.
Wait till 2017. I think, Call of Duty is always interesting, even if it's unpleasant.
Yes.
Like, we play it every year. And I think...
It's kind of weird, actually. Like, that's one of the most reliable things we play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it's also... It just fits into our lives really easily.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can be done in, like, 10 hours or less, essentially.
Yeah.
But I think that this is finally the point where I actually thought Call of Duty was going several years ago.
Yes.
Like, you know, they've some space stuff, but now this looks like it is straight up, you're going to have a fight in space.
That's true, but a lot of the action that we see is on the ground. Like, it's not zero-G combat. Now, we have seen zero-G combat in Call of Duty before, but not wholly embraced.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely convinced they are going to embrace all of that. Everything that we saw in space looked like it very well could be fully scripted.
Yeah, especially when the robot was saving you.
Sure, which I think is a really cool aesthetic. It's really rad. I think that's really neat. But even the space combat, like the fighter pilot stuff, that could be more like the LA jet scene where you're essentially on rails.
And they did that in the last Call of Duty we played where, remember, you were going onto like the oil derricks or whatever, and it was essentially on rails.
Yeah,
like,
when you're in the helicopter or whatever, so there's a real possibility that the space stuff is an aesthetic just to justify the on-the-ground combat. Yeah.
And I don't know...
Although there was that scene where you're in a mech on, I presume, Mars.
Well, there's that shot where you see in the background a planet with rings around it. So that's assuming that you're close enough to something like Saturn or something where you can see it from one of the terraformed moons. Or they finally found the mass relay.
That they found the mass relay. That's exactly right. You're fighting Turians.
Ramirez, get in that mass relay. Ramirez, help those aliens sort out their genocidal history.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't know. I mean, I would be interested to see how much the space combat is going to affect the mechanics.
Mm.
Because the robot stuff we've already seen.
Yes.
Mech stuff we've already seen.
Mm-hmm. Was there a lot of mech stuff in the last...
Isn't there like the exo things you wear into combat, which isn't, I imagine, not that alien from a sort of larger mech suit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wonder, because that's the other thing alongside this aesthetic. Call of Duty has got itself in a rough position because they've introduced these Titanfall-esque mechanics of boosts and wall runs and rocket jumps and stuff like that. So like, unless they want to completely reset, they can't go backwards.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't justify someone wearing like a steampunk jetpack in World War I to like run on a tank.
Steampunk. Like... There's like a guy with like a monocle and a top hat.
I mean, oh, actually, we'll talk about the guy who would be wearing that in a few minutes. But they've got themselves into this ever escalating set of gameplay features.
I think you could probably go apocalyptic with it. You know, like we were joking about Call of Duty in which all of the robots that have been established sort of fight against the humans, but that might actually be a decently neat setting, right? If you're taking out swarms of drones, not with AK-47s but with, like, you know,
your own bees.
Yeah, like bees you've covered in oil and then like ignite for some sort of explosive fire. I don't know. Oh, and then, of course, if you ever actually do encounter aliens, then there's all sorts of weird mix-ups. Yeah. But at this point, we're saying the Call of Duty franchise is on this, like, unstoppable train towards the future.
I think it is. I mean, like, it's... They had to do that because with Modern Warfare, or sorry, what was it? Advanced Warfare.
Advanced Warfare.
That's when they put in the boosts, the kind of tribes-like or Titanfall-like, you know, jukes to the side and stuff. And there's been remote drones for several games now. Like, it's hard to go back.
Yeah.
Like, Far Cry Primal handled that stuff with you warging into an eagle and dropping B-bombs on people.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you have to find some sort of justification for those mechanics. Like,
That's true.
And so it's hard to do that. Like, you either have to go all the way back to when, you know, warging could conceivably have existed, or far enough into the future, because you're stuck in this middle part where it's like, we can't do this anymore.
It's kind of an unfortunate thing, too, because we actually do have a long history of space shooters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when in this game, you're inevitably going to be able to board an enemy ship, and then you're fighting in, like, a ship, right? We have certain expectations about what a spaceship looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can probably draw you a spaceship corridor out of memory that it looks like any other spaceship corridor other than the ones you find in Aliens, which are wholly unique.
Mm-hmm.
Those corridors are going to be familiar for anybody who've played some of these, like, space shooters in the past. How are they going to make it seem really cool and set PC in the way that they've done in the past when you're fighting at super memorable landmarks, right?
Yeah.
When you're fighting at, like, the Washington Monument or the battle when you're in downtown Los Angeles by outside the Staples Center, like, these are Call of Duty set pieces that tend to be memorable. Or the prison sequence in Russia, right? Like, there's all sorts of memorable Call of Duty set pieces. when you're in space and it's essentially entirely fictional,
yeah,
I'm not entirely convinced they're going to be able to pull off some of the same really cool cinematic moments unless they do crazy stuff with zero gravity.
Yeah.
You know, like the ship needs to be blowing up and you need to be able to fall out of it, or or imagine playing a multiplayer where the ship is exploding and certain areas of the ship are losing both gravity and oxygen, and you have to like
go from
kill. Yeah. Like, what if I had to stab a guy and take his space helmet, you know, in order to survive? Like,
I'll take that.
Or what if I could like shoot a door and then watch my other player enemy in multiplayer get sucked out of the airlock, right? Yeah. And then quickly like magnet grab the floor or something.
Yeah.
That stuff could be really neat, but we didn't see that in the trailer. So there's a lot of a need to sort of prove that they can understand how to make the best out of their space environment.
I mean, that's what I also find interesting about trailers overall, because I think both of these games, they are multiplayer focused. I mean, that's
but all of so much of this is just
the trailer is narrative, you know, trying to like tell a story, or at least
the Battlefield one, I think you can spot some of the combat, right? Like you see gas, for example, and you know, okay, well maybe.
And there'll be airplanes and stuff.
Yeah, and mortar shelling, I guess, presumably will be a thing.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think even having...
Warging.
Like, even having, you know, setting it to dramatic music and stuff, it's like, that's not...
Oh, God, the David Bowie cover, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, the Space Oddity, terrible, like, late 90s, early 2000s alt-rock version of David Bowie, which is also, like, simultaneously, like, the safest choice and also the most distasteful choice possible. Like, it's so boring, you know?
Yeah.
And it's about space, which is extremely boring and on the nose. And it's, like, David Bowie, who, like, fairly recently died, but also was, like, a much more artistic guy than, like, here's, like... yet another shooter. This is a combination of like, this is the worst song.
I mean, these are both reveal trailers, and I don't think either of these trailers are any good.
Yeah.
I think Battlefield 1 is slightly better because it actually does showcase some of the tone that you're going to get from World War 1. But maybe that's just the difficulty of Call of Duty expressing the tone of space combat.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially since if they really want to explore the tone of space combat, it'd be totally silent.
Yes.
It would be so funny if they just showed a bunch of explosions, just silent gun shooting, silent.
Yeah,
like
I think you could have a like. There's like the really cool effect of sound not being in space, but then as you're entering the atmosphere, growing. Like that could be pretty neat.
I mean, I'm sure there will be some pretty amazing like atmosphere to no atmosphere transitions. Yeah. Like there was even that thing in the
with the trailer, with the robot pulling you in.
Yeah, or the thing when they were just like flying out from the atmosphere into space to go have a space battle.
you say like it's like a dinner date.
You know, I'm just going to space. I mean, they got out there. I mean, their trajectory out of the planet took like 10 seconds. Yeah. Like, I mean,
you play as Elon Musk in this one.
Maybe he's the enemy.
Oh my God, how amazing would that
Elon be? Elon Musk has finally launched his campaign.
Exactly. This is Activision calling him out.
So at the end of the trailer of Call of Duty, they swap over to tell you what you're going to get if you buy the deluxe version, which is a remastered version of Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
That's right, yeah.
So there's very little...
Which I'm tempted to play, by the way.
Oh, yeah, me too. Then that's when I got excited. I was like, ooh, Modern Warfare. Like, so when that happened, though, I thought there was like very little transition between Infinite Warfare and Modern Warfare 1.
Yeah.
And so I was like,
oh.
And then I was like, oh, shit. They're bringing back Soap McTavish for Infinite Warfare? And then
it's like, is this the cigar guy?
Yeah.
Oh, so that guy is from Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
I did not remember that.
No. Like, he's like the only guy that I remember besides one guy who may be called Ramirez, or maybe we just made that up. I think, but Soap is the guy with the crazy sideburns.
Yeah.
And the cigar. Yeah. And so I was like, did they fucking clone Soap McTavish?
Dude, they might have.
And put him in Infinite War, because that was also an Infinity Ward game, so probably like the IP
is
sticky.
The timeline is
the
same, yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then I was like, oh no, it's just... It's just a remaster of that. But like, that actually kind of got me excited, because like, I mean, Modern Warfare, looking back on it, is like a pivotal game.
Yeah.
You know, like it defined what shooters are going to be like.
Yeah, I think that's a good candidate for like another classic debrief.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because we haven't done one for a little bit. And I was like, that's like, it's also been years now, right? It's like been more than 10 years since that game came out. Yeah, yeah. Or maybe about 10. I don't know.
Well, it's not modern anymore. We're in infinite territory.
Yeah, so. I mean, we've gone far, far past it. But then I was also thinking, like, you know, people are excited about that game also because of the multiplayer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think having the set pieces is cool, but I think there are people that, you know, for them, you know, their version of Counter-Strike Dust or whatever is the Modern Warfare maps.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to be a huge thing. I see that as a draw for people.
For sure. Know? And I guess that's what you're playing until you have Infinite Warfare, because you wouldn't want to release them around the same time, right?
Unless the maps are like cross-play, maybe.
Oh, that'd be crazy. Know,
like, yeah.
Well, you're like, your side is just regular dudes, and then a guy in a mech shows up. That's absurd. Hey, at least I have a sweet cigar.
A robot starts boosting across the map, and you're just like,
Yeah, exactly. You've got like a bayonet.
I think, I think that seems like a really cool thing, but it just kind of hammers home the fact that we've just been making these games like for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know like what Infinite Warfare will be able to do compared to like some of the like novel things that Battlefield is doing, or just the straight up nostalgia grab that, you know,
Modern Warfare
is bundling together. Who knows? Maybe people, you have to pay extra money for it. So maybe, who am I kidding? They're going to sell that off to the side.
I'm sure they're selling it off to the side. Yeah. Because aren't they bundling it with like a bunch of other stuff?
I mean, that's like
DLC maps.
Yeah, it's like, you know, whatever. The day one edition is how to get the old skins, but, you know, I'm sure they're going to.
Soap McTavish?
Oh, my God. The Soap McTavish thing?
They should have a mech that looks like him. Just like a big old metal mustache. And he's like smoking on like a rocket.
You see the mustache like open up and rockets fly out of it.
Sweet. Truly Modern Warfare.
Infinite mustache. Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think both of the games are going to be neat, but I also think to myself, like, what does the shooter look like in 2016? Because like now people are like surprisingly positive on Doom.
Yep.
Which shocks me.
Yeah. Overwatch is hot. Yeah,
Overwatch is coming out. Titanfall 2 was announced.
Yeah.
Is that 2017 game? Like
almost certainly, yeah. So we'll know more at E3 in like a month.
Yeah. I mean, I think that all of a sudden, like, shooters have gotten kind of crazy again.
Yeah.
You know?
In a good way, or do you feel like it's a sort of last hurrah in a competition against MOBAs and other competitive, almost endless, infinite
MOBA
competitive shooters and stuff?
I wonder how many. My understanding was that Call of Duty 3, the multiplayer, was actually fairly well received. But I don't know. But I know that people have been grumbling more and more about those games every year.
Yeah.
So maybe there is some sort of inflection point. But it's crowded all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And like the Doom stuff surprised me. The Overwatch stuff surprised me. The Battlefield 1 stuff, like, they've been rumored to be working on it for a long time. But yeah. I don't know. It just seems to be like a weird little mini resurgence of things.
I think this is kind of a crazy year for games. Like, we've already had so many good ones.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of like Mirror's Edge Catalyst is coming out, and Dishonored 2 later this year. Like, there's just a lot of stuff.
Oh, first person stuff is looking good. Because is Mirror's Edge 2 also DICE? Like, is that their?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think.
Aren't they working on a Star Wars game too?
DICE was. Battlefield was. Yeah. Or Battlefront.
Battlefront.
Battlefront,
oh, that's right.
Was
yeah,
DICE.
Battlefront, yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you have that. That's a FPS that came out. Was kind of like a, I don't know, maybe a test run for some of the stuff they were thinking about in Battlefield 1.
There's like, a fucking AT-AT going through. Hey, you know what? If you want to get over a trench, there's no better way than
force jumping.
Yeah, exactly.
I just
you turn a trench and it's just like full of Ewoks.
Oh, I took a wrong turn.
This should really be like, your job is to dig trenches on the forced moon of Endor.
God damn it. You see someone digging a trench with a lightsaber.
Yeah, like a light shovel.
Yeah, it's first-person shooters have, there's some heating up around this movement. But yeah, I think it's cool, though. Even though I think both of these games, the trailers and the way they're marketing them are probably not the most interesting things about them.
Yep.
And there may very well be a vast like-dislike conspiracy that we're uncovering now.
True, definitely. Yeah, definitely. But I think, you know, more will come. Another trailer will come that probably does better justice. Because I mean, they're not allowed to talk about much. E3, they're saving all that good stuff for E3.
What do you think there will be another cover song?
Oh, man. I mean, E3 is going to be the year of cover songs.
What cover song?
Well, Prince is next. It's going to be Purple Rain. Oh, my God. It's going to be like a hardcore rock Purple Rain.
There's going to be like, oh, man, what if From Software announces a new thing and does like a gothic-inspired I Will Die For You from Prince?
Hey, I would
die for that.
I would die for that. That'd be great.
Oh, man. That's true. How long do you think till we get a Prince cover song in video games?
Legitimately this year. You think E3? I'm willing to put like $5 down on it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because it's too hot and immediately recognizable.
All right, you heard it here first.
The problem is it's not easy to adapt a Prince song.
That's true.
He dominates it so well, right?
I mean, there are a few video games that are funky enough to truly
we need
like,
some funk.
Carry. Yeah. To truly carry, like, I don't know.
What is the funkiest game in the games?
I mean, maybe you could have like a
Ratchet and Clank.
Well, I mean, I was thinking like more obscure. Like you would have to get like Suda 51 would have a ragtime version of like Darling Nikki.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, he would have a whole game that you just play as Prince.
You're like trying to take back Paisley. You're trying to take back like Paisley Place from like, I don't know, some like alien invasion.
Exactly.
Or
yeah. Or it's just like a basketball game.
A highly sexualized basketball game from Suda 51.
No joke. I would play the shit out of that game. Are you kidding me? Oh my God.
Especially if it also would doubled as a dating sim.
Yeah. The Funky Dunk.
All right, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
You can pre-order the Funky Dunk at experiencepoints.net.
Look for our Kickstarter.
Look for our Kickstarter coming out 2017. If you want to support the Funky Dunk with your star ratings, you can go to iTunes and Stitcher.
That's how we're judging interest.
Help us find new listeners. Gotta spread that Funky Dunk word.
All right, until next time, everyone. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.